99.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show. Whoa! In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator, cage side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
You ready? Let's go.
In the Cage MMA Radio. Good evening, everybody. I am Vince Ferrara, alongside matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, Mr. Tim Loy. It's our weekly MMA radio show here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Tim, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Vince. Ready to get back to it.
Yeah, another quality UFC card this past Saturday night. They went to Vegas this time, so we will break that down. We'll look ahead to UFC 250 in about 10 minutes or so. We'll visit with Jimmy Neely, who's a referee in MMA. Before we get to our big three stories, Tim, in sports, and we've talked about it on the Sports Animal this week, that sports sometimes can be like society and represent society. Sometimes sports can be better than society. And I think when it comes to breaking racial barriers, being so diverse and accepting of people with different backgrounds, different ethnicities, I think sports world definitely is that. But I think the MMA community is generally pretty good from that standpoint as well. What do you think with your experiences dealing with so many fighters?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, it's one of those things where we just don't run into these situations. It's important, though, I think, that the higher profile athletes, they have a large audience that are listening to them. You know, they have a large outreach with as popular sports are. So, you know, these guys that are able to get a good message out there, you know, a positive message. So I think that it goes a long way.
Yeah, and hopefully not just black, but white, everybody will really get the message out there and use their influence and power to try to make a difference and change so we can stop seeing the police brutality and the racism in this country. So MMA certainly will be a part of that moving forward. Let's jump into our big three stories. And Tim, at number one, the UFC on ESPN9 at the Apex in Las Vegas. I thought the way the whole Apex looked, the background, they had some colors and you can see a few people here and there. I thought the presentation of it was good. What were your thoughts on another empty arena show for the UFC in Vegas?
I thought it was good. I thought it was the best production-wise that they pulled off yet. And, you know, they do the Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series events there. So they've already got a pretty good routine, I'm sure, in their home building on, putting together a nice production. And yeah, you're right. It seemed like a souped up version of that. They had, the lights and that kind of thing, which typically they don't have that going on the Contender Series. But as far as the amount of people that were in there, it was a similar ilk. And so it felt good, actually. I thought it was I thought they pulled off a good show. And it was a card that I thought that going into it, I wasn't really too stoked for it. I thought it was a real top heavy card, but ultimately it delivered really good action.
They finally did those backstage interviews. So they brought the fighter back and then Daniel Cormier interviewed them while they were backstage with the headsets that they're sanitizing. I really like that dynamic. You could see all those fighters had great respect for Daniel Cormier. I think he handles himself in those situations really well. So I like that part of that broadcast also.
Yeah. You know, it kind of it's something that you're like, well, why didn't they think of that before? You know, because it really was good. It was great. And I would be surprised if we don't see that as kind of the norm going forward for a bit.
Okay. And speaking of surprise, how surprised were you how Gilbert Burns absolutely dominated Tyron Woodley from start to finish?
Well, you know, I had Gilbert Burns in the fight. I wasn't surprised that he won, mm-hmm. but I will say that I was surprised at how dominant he was. You know, he got a couple judges to give him a 10-8 round on one of those rounds, which is, you know, massive domination. He steamrolled through every round, man. And I expected, you know, we'll get into this a little bit deeper, you know, later in the show, but I expected it to be kind of like a 3-2 battle, like a 3-2 at the end of the day.
And there were a lot of finishes in the card, which really, I think, added to the excitement of it. Some shows, and even some of the ones that UFC had in Jacksonville, a lot of judges' scorecards. And when you go to the judges' scorecards, there's oftentimes things to critique. So I think it was a good thing to have some definitive finishes. So in our third segment, after we talk to referee Jimmy Neely, we will get into all of the specifics on that fight in Vegas last Saturday night and give you our thoughts on it. All right, the drama between John Jones and Dana White, Tim, has continued. And just a little bit of the backstory for people that may not be familiar with it. After Ngannou's last fight, Jones and Ngannou talk with a Jones move to heavyweight really started to ramp up. Those two were going back and forth on social media. Then John Jones starts to talk publicly on Twitter about his negotiations with the UFC, about money that he wanted for that fight, and it didn't look like the UFC was willing to pay him. Then Jones continued to criticize the UFC for not paying him and the value that Jones thought he had. Then Jones and Dana White started going back and forth. Dana White saying you couldn't be asking for a more absurd amount of money at a worse time. Dana White said he was asking for Deontay Wilder type money, which is in the $30 million range, which of course would be insane. And then John Jones firing back at Dana White saying, it's interesting you're watching your boss sit there and lie to a camera like that. He said they never discussed any increase in pay. Well, Jones had previously tweeted about the UFC was unwilling to pay him more for the Francis Super fight. Then Dana White continued to fire back, and John Jones asking Dana White to publish text messages. He wanted to be let go. Then John Jones says he's going to vacate the title. Dana White says, look, this is just who you're going to believe. Why am I going to lie about this? And so the back and forth has just really been ugly between the two. What do you make of all this between Jones and Dana White?
They're two alphas, you know, so it's hard for either one of them to ever admit that they are in the wrong or what have you. And so there's always going to be some bit of tension between these guys, you know. I think the Ngannou fight for Jones would be a big fight. That said, and I see him wanting to get a good payday for it. I guess it comes down to a he said, she said. Did he really ask for $30 million? Did he really ask specifically for, you know, was Deontay Wilder's name tossed about or in some way where Dana was under the impression that he needed exactly that amount of money to fight? You know, at the end of the day, it is a business, and they don't have a live gate right now, and you're only dependent upon pay-per-views. I think you said that Jones was had stated that he may be able to get extra money through pay-per-view sales. Mm. I mean, man, I don't think that that's that bad a thing. You know, I mean, if that's the only way that they can sell this thing is by pay-per-view and you get a cut of the sales, then, you know, you're going to prove how big this fight is, essentially. You can only pay these guys so much money when you're not even able to sell tickets to the show, you know. So, you know, I get it. Maybe it's just not a fight that's feasible to do right now until we are opened all the way back up where you can pack out an arena for it. At the end of the day, though, as far as him vacating the title, you know, he said that he's going to vacate the title. I don't know if that will stick or not, or he could just be posturing. It could just be something to get Dana back to the negotiating table. But, hey, you know, Dana just let Henry Cejudo retire when they didn't give him more money. And, you know, I think Dana's a pretty stubborn guy, ultimately. You know, it'd be interesting to see if they make him, if he were to vacate the title, they're not going to let him out of his contract.
Right.
That's not going to happen. No. You know, so then it becomes kind of a question of like, does he vacate the title so he doesn't have that champion's clause hanging over? Because when you're a champion, there is no contract negotiation. You're just you automatically extend your contract. So if he vacates the title and fights out his contract, you know, against whoever they throw at him, and then he could test free agency, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of layers to this, and it doesn't look like this is going away anytime soon. So we will revisit this topic. A lot of meat still on that bone. So we'll come back to that. Our third in the big three stories, and we'll preview it fully in segment number four, UFC 250 Saturday night. It's the champ, Amanda Nunes, defending her women's featherweight title against Felicia Spencer, who's unranked 8-1 in her career. A decent card, quick thought, on Saturday night's UFC 50 back at the Apex in Vegas.
I'm excited for it. You know, there's some star power on here as far as names I'm excited to see that just generally put on a good show. Nunez, you know, Cody Garbrandt, you know, Sugar Sean O'Malley. These are guys that are, you know, that are going to put on a show and it'll be entertaining. And with the new kind of presentation we're getting from the Apex, I think that'll make it all the better.
What's it like to be an MMA referee? We'll ask accomplished referee Jimmy Neely next on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Former NFL All-Pro Pat McAfee has no filter.
I'm tired of being fat shamed, AJ.
Get the NFL experience you won't hear anywhere else from current players, Pat, and his buddies.
He's only saying this because of The Last Dance saying that Michael Jordan would have been a great MLB player. So LeBron is coming out saying he could have been a multi-sport athlete. Those haters are wrong. I think LeBron was just...
Listen and subscribe to the
Pat McAfee Show 2.0.
Free. Wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by the Westwood One Podcast Network.
This Friday at the Knoxville Drag Strip, see Street Outlaws, No Prep Kings, Chuck Seitzinger in the Death Trap, Sean Ellington in the Murder Nova, and the 2019 No Prep Kings champion Ryan Martin with the Fireball Camaro. Admission is $20 and kids 10 and under get in free. Find out more at KnoxvilleDragStrip.com.
Your YMCA is loaded with new programs, new classes, and new equipment for the new year. Visit the Y to find something for everyone in the family. Heavy lifting and basketball for dad, hundreds of group classes for mom, and child watch, pools, and youth fitness classes for the kids. Even better, it's all free with your Y membership with no contracts, no long-term commitments, and nationwide membership. This year, make time for healthy habits as a family at the Y. Visit ymcaknoxville.org to join online today.
Cheap is for the birds, not for hardworking homeowners who need quality replacement windows, siding, or doors. That's why locally owned CRS Exteriors offers only the best products at a fair, honest price. A CRS isn't the cheapest, it's the best in pricing, in customer service, superior products, including Infinity by Marvin Windows. You want a free estimate? Price the rest, call the best. CRS Exteriors, 670-8823 or crsexteriors.com.
Benchmark Physical Therapy is a leading physical therapy provider dedicated to bringing you back to your best. Benchmark focuses on proven methods, people helping people. Benchmark has more advanced certified clinicians than anyone in the region and outcomes that exceed national standards. Benchmark therapists know the importance of establishing trust with their patients. With over 30 locations in the Knoxville area, we have one close to you, including North Peters Road, Callahan Drive, Easttown, Alcoa, and Maryville. Visit benchmarkpt.com for a location near you.
Is your heating and air unit on its last legs? Don't take a chance on it. Call Chancy and Reynolds. They've worked hard on becoming the big dog of heating and cooling, offering fair prices and working with honesty and integrity. An affordable heat and air repair is just one call away. 525-5076. Chancy and Reynolds, your full service Rheem dealer. Locally owned and in business since 1978.
Want to have a stunning bug-free shaded room to enjoy the outdoors? A new deck with maintenance-free deck railing system? A new screen or windowed sunroom? From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. Call Diversified Enclosures and Screen now at 453-6780 or online at sunandscreen.com.
Hi, I'm John Milligan. I treat venous disease. Vein disease is not cosmetic only. 95% of my practice is treating heavy, tired, achy, restless legs. So it's great to be able to help people in ways they didn't even know they had a disease. So they come in with a heavy, tired leg, I can give them more energy. I can take away their cramps at night. 80% chance that their legs will not be restless afterwards. And the added benefit is their legs will look better.
To find out more, visit us at milliganvein.com.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview, letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio. Vince Ferrara, Tim Loy, your weekly MMA radio show on 99.1 The Sports Animal, streaming always at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Wherever you get your podcast, whether it's iTunes, Google, we podcast it shortly thereafter on the website as well on the show page. You can always get us there. And then on the free WNML Sports Animal app, you can listen to us live wherever you happen to be. MMA referees don't get a chance to do interviews very often. A terrific official that's used here at Valor Fighting Challenge in Knoxville, done shows in multiple states, including South Carolina, and has worked for the UFC and will continue to do so as well. Jimmy Neely, MMA referee, joins us here on In the Cage MMA Radio. Jimmy, great to have you on with us. How you doing?
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. This is just a big honor.
Man, honor is ours. So we've been looking forward to getting your perspective on being a referee and what that is like. Big picture, summarize what that experience is like for you. They lock the cage. Combatants are in there. The guys, the gals, they're in there ready to fight when there is a crowd. The energy in there. What's that like for you as a referee?
Man, I tell you, I feed off their energy just as much, you know, the crowd and the fighters. You know, if the fighters are going slow, I'm kind of slow, but if they're going at it, it gets me up too. Being a retired fighter, man, I'm still in my element. Like I said, I just love being in the middle, man.
What's the main thing you think that you've seen grow from the sport in the region here, in the Southeast region over the last 10 years?
It's always so many changes to rules and stuff like that. I think officiating in whole has gotten better. Because more people are seeking extra training, like with the ABC classes that are provided, which I'm a big part of, you know, getting all of our officials involved in that. We never stopped learning or anything ourselves. So when I'm not reffing a show, I'm still looking to get my certifications and stuff like that in. So it's a constantly changing sport, and the rules are constantly being updated. So that's always going to probably be my answer on the change. And it's not so much regional as it is everywhere.
How different are the amateur fights versus the professional fights, besides some obvious rules changes?
Well, mainly it's just the experience level, obviously, and the amount of training. You know, a lot of these amateur guys earlier in their career, it's more of a brawl instead of a competition. As they get into that pro rank, it's more of a competition. It's about who trained harder, who did the right thing longer, that kind of thing, where safety, obviously, is the biggest concern with amateurs, not knowing how far they can go yet, knowing they got to go to work tomorrow after the fight, that kind of thing. And that's what we're there for, to, you know, really make sure we protect them.
You know, I've said many times doing commentary or on radio shows, podcasts, things like that, the job of an official is absolutely one of the hardest jobs out there. You know, I've never refereed fights myself, but I've umpired baseball up through like the high school level. And I know from experience in that realm that, you know, if you do any other job in the world at 99%, effectiveness, you are considered an ace, you know, that you're considered the best. However, an official, really, you only remember the 1% that they got wrong. Generally speaking, that's what officials are going to be remembered more for, their goose than for the good job that they do. How do you shake off a controversial call? You know, you've been a part of some controversial calls throughout your career, as have all referees, I'm sure. I've noted earlier in your refereeing career, if you had a controversial call earlier in the show, you would be a little more on tilt and more apt to maybe make a quick decision. And now in the more recent years, as you've developed into a, you know, a senior official, that you're better at getting those things to roll off your back. Well, you know, what advice would you give people, you know, to kind of shake that thing off? Because it's easier said than done.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, there's all referees have been in those situations. You know, we're going to make a call that we might not be sure that we made the right call at the time. Luckily now with, you know, video replay and stuff, you can go back and verify yourself, which I do that a lot. Even at Valor, after I come out of the cage, I'll go back over just to make sure I was right. That helps me a lot. Just confidence of being in there, man. Once you get that confidence up, You it's just like anything else. You just got to shake it off and go on to the next one, man. You can't hold on to it and just fall back on your highest level of training, man.
Yeah, you're always welcome to look over our shoulder at the broadcast table there, cage side, to check it out. And look, we rely on you as well a lot of times for clarification on things. Sometimes, you know, things happen so quick, it ends up being the end of a fight, that we need a little additional explanation from you guys.
Yeah, so I kind of feed off you all. I can tell when you guys are a little stumped, and I will come over and say something. After I let the commission know and whoever's running the cards or whatever, I let them know what was going on. I always like to at least make sure you guys are on the same page, because sometimes it can be confusing when you get a really complicated call, which we've had a few of those at Valor here lately that I've had to really explain. And then I also, anytime I have stuff like that, you know, after I've explained it, even when I leave there, I don't stop. I send a lot of my fights up to be reviewed also from the upper guys to make sure that I did things right. I'm not the referee that will say I know everything, and I'm always, you know, one of those guys that can be coached as well.
We're seeing with the UFC now, they're empty arenas other than staff there, with the UFC coming back without the fans right now. You can hear everything, the punches and everything, all that natural sound, but you can hear the referee as well. What do you think about that aspect of maybe that communication being out there that you're having with the fighters more than normal?
Well, I mean, the communication has always been there between the fighters and the referee.
Right.
But what now is getting to happen, the fans at home get to hear us talking.
Right.
Like when a fight's almost over, or if he's getting close to commit a foul, you know, those little details, watch grabbing the cage, watch the back of the head. You know, you don't get to hear that stuff, and then fans see a back of the head shot and then wonder why I just took a point the first time. No, I'd already warned him three times, then I took a point. So that's really huge right now for the people to see that kind of stuff and hear that. Also with the corner people, you know, the referees can hear what the corners are saying to the fighters, and opposite fighters can hear opposite corners saying stuff. And it's really making it a more integral fight game, I think.
What would you say is the more difficult situation? Working a UFC fight in front of a full stadium, knowing you're on national television, pay-per-view, what have you, but having two skilled guys that kind of know what they're doing, and the fight can kind of flow the way it's going to flow? Or would you say it's harder working with two lower level guys in a smaller show where you don't have the pressure of the pay-per-view and the worldwide audience, but you've got guys that are, you don't know what you're going to get out of them, you know?
By far, the two new guys, man, are the lesser experienced, because you just don't know what's going to happen in some of those situations. When you get to the level of the UFC and even the upper pros of our area, of the regional area, these guys have been there. They've done that. They've seen almost everything. I should very seldom have to get involved in their fight at all. So they're going to do all the work. But now when these newer guys have been in there, there's a lot of crazy stuff can happen. So you just never know what's going to happen at that level.
Besides maybe just the natural atmosphere when there's a lot of people in the arena, bigger shows, what are some other differences that you've noted working in the UFC versus working at a regional show?
Mainly just the amount of how things are run, how, you know, everything has to be right on time, you know, stuff like that. It's, you got security, you know, fans have to be so far back from the cage, you know, they can get rowdy, but you don't have to worry about them getting so close to the cage and stuff like that. The noise is great, but like I said, I think I still like those smaller, tighter venues when it comes to that crowd noise.
Speaking of which, you've refereed a lot of fights in your career, been in a lot of different circumstances, different venues, different crowds. What is the craziest thing that you've had happen while you've been refereeing a fight, be it someone in the crowd, be it someone in the cage, coach, corner? What would you say is the most memorable thing that kind of sticks out from your career thus far?
Well, I hate to say it. I'm not going to bring a certain fighter's name into this or nothing, but, you know, I've had a fighter call timeout before. And it was actually at, I think it was a 3FC show, one of your old shows. And it was, I couldn't believe it even happened. And I said something like, hey, you can't call timeout, keep going. Then he does it again. And I'm like, is this really happening to me? Is this really a joke? And it was fairly early in my career. I know the fight's over right there and I should have just stopped it, but I just kept pushing. But I just couldn't believe it happened. That's just the craziest thing I think I've ever had happen to me.
It reminds me of like one of the wrestling heels, you know, when they roll out of the ring, yeah, and they're like, time out.
Wrestling? Yeah, I thought I was being punked or something. So I wasn't sure what was going on.
This guy may qualify as a heel.
Yeah, no doubt. We've had some heels as interviews on this show.
For sure. Young people that have, you know, goals and aspirations of becoming an official, whether it be a judge or a referee, what advice would you give them on good ways to kind of get their foot in the door and, you know, begin getting that experience?
Well, first off, the best officials, I'm going to say, came from people who used to fight. I'm not saying you had to be a fighter to be a good official, but at least train. No, especially refereeing, you have to have a thorough knowledge of jiu-jitsu. I'm talking blue, purple belt level at the least, and something like that. And then, you know, once you do that, start getting with referees, local officials, look into getting some courses like ABC training. I always offer this to coaches. I offer it to everybody. Guys, go through the same training I do so you know what I'm looking for, and that way it's not like that. And if somebody's really into doing it, you know, we got the shadow program. You and I've allowed many of people to come shadow me, and then that gives them a shock to see if it's something they're interested in, and we go from there. And then they shadow me for a few shows, and then we talk about some certifications, and we, you know, let them get their feet wet a little bit.
Last thing with you, Jimmy, there's been a lot of discussion about open scoring, different ways to try to make the sport better. Do you have any opinions on open scoring or maybe ways that the sport can advance in terms of a fairness aspect?
The one thing I love about open scoring, and it's probably the only thing I love about open scoring, and that's the fact that the fighters know if they're down or if they're up, mm-hmm. and they know they have to do something to come back. The biggest problem I have with it is, for instance, if you're in a hostile environment, now I'm going to say this differently. It also helps to hold officials accountable. So mm-hmm. I'm going to say that before I go any farther with this part. Now, with what I was saying about the hostile environment, you could be in a guy's hometown crowd and the crowd hears one official over here scored it a way they don't like. I kind of think it puts a safety issue out there for judges and stuff. But once again, I think it holds people accountable to make sure they're on cue with their scoring.
With the sport just starting to come back, and we'll talk about Valor Fighting Challenge returning a little bit later on, do you have an upcoming schedule? Do you know when you're going to be back in a cage or octagon?
As of right now, I mean, I can't even tell you how many shows that I've missed now since February. I'd say 3 a month.
I would say at least 10.
Yeah, so at least. So now I'm looking, if things go the way they're supposed to, it looks like the show in Kingsport on June 20th would be my first one back if it goes through. Then if that doesn't, it will be July 3rd, Mr. Loy there at Valor. And then it looks like I have a couple in South Carolina scheduled after that, and maybe Georgia coming up too in July. So I might have 3 or 4 like real close. So we just got to see what's going on with the pandemic issues and how far the states are really willing to open up right now.
Jimmy, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Stay safe and healthy out there in South Carolina, and we look forward to seeing you real soon back in the cage.
Yes, sir, gentlemen. Thank you for having me, and I'll see you on a couple weeks up in Knox Vegas.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks, Jimmy.
That is Jimmy Neely, MMA referee, joining us here on In the Cage MMA Radio, our weekly compelling interview here on the show. We'll review Saturday night's UFC event in Vegas next on In the Cage MMA Radio.
What a difference a day makes. Hey, it's Ainge, and in just one day, you can get a competitive cash offer for your home from my friend and trusted realtor, Tracy King, with Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty, Kings of Real Estate Team. Things are changing by the minute, and for some of us, that means the time to sell is right now. Like always, Tracy King has stepped up to help homeowners maximize the sale of their home. Whether it's making you a great cash offer in just 24 hours or activating the Tracy King's unique seller protection program, an option that safely and successfully markets your home online to over 12,000 ready buyers with tours, offers, and closing performed virtually without any in-person interaction. Plus, Tracy King guarantees your home will sell at a price and a timeline you agree to, or he'll buy it himself. He puts you in control for selling your home for top dollar, and you can get a 24-hour cash offer today by calling 365-2323 and get your home sold.
The proceeding was a paid announcement.
Need replacement windows, siding, or doors? Trust CRS Exteriors for fair, honest pricing every time. None of that price it up, price it down stuff. Just top quality products and service from locally owned CRS, the exclusive dealer for Superior Infinity from Marvin Windows. And CRS offers 12 months interest-free financing with no money down. 865-670-8823 or CRSExteriors.com.
Hey, I'm Will West here with Andrew Henderson from Fitness Together Knoxville. The biggest thing that people bring up to me when they go and train at Fitness Together is the way you guys help them with their nutrition as well.
Will, you're right. Our Nutrition Together program teaches people the right way to eat so they lose weight without putting it back on.
And Andrew, right now you're offering a great deal for the listeners.
Absolutely. Come in, try it. There's a complimentary trial session and consultation. If you like it, we'll take $100 off your 3-month jumpstart program.
KnoxFT.com. KnoxFT.com for Fitness Together.
Chancy and Reynolds is the big dog in heating and air conditioning because heating and air conditioning is all they do, and they do it right at a fair price. Don't call a plumbing or a jack-of-all-trades company to install a new Rheem system or service your current heating and air unit. Call the specialist, Chancy and Reynolds, at 525-5076. That's 525-5076.
The big dog of heating and cooling.
The big dog.
To help keep your home up and running, the Home Depot has the appliance help you can count on. Download the Home Depot app or visit homedepot.com to search for savings on top brands like GE, with ratings and reviews to give you confidence, special buy savings, and free delivery. You'll get the appliances you need to keep your home running without even leaving home. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Free delivery on purchases of $396 or more. Continental U.S. only.
You have to be up in 5 hours, 2 hours, 6 minutes. And when you hear, you realize that you haven't slept a wink. That's why there's ZzzQuil Pure Z's, a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin, so you can fall asleep naturally with no next-day grogginess. It's available in both liquid and gummies, tastes great, and is non-habit-forming. Pick up ZzzQuil Pure Z's from the sleep experts at Vicks ZzzQuil. ZzzQuil Pure Z's, naturally superior sleep. Available at retailers near you.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers.
This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Back here on In the Cage MMA Radio, Wednesday nights, 8 to 9, here on 99.1 The Sports Animal, 99.1thesportsanimal.com on the free WNML mobile app powered by Big Kahuna Wings, and podcasting afterwards as well on Google, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcast, and always archived on the show page at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. With Tim Loy, I am Vince Ferrara. Valor Fighting Challenge is coming back. We're going to talk about that in the next segment, so hang tight, and we'll look ahead to UFC's pay-per-view this Saturday night as well. But we still have to look back on this past Saturday night, UFC on ESPN 9 at the Apex in Vegas, and we'll start with the main event and kind of work our way back. We touched on it a little bit at the start. Gilbert Burns absolutely dominating Tyron Woodley, 50-44 on two judges' scorecards, 50-45 on the other. Tyron Woodley talked about everything, all the new training he was doing and going over to Thailand, and Gilbert Burns had been on such a roll and looked so good. Gilbert Burns, man, he was dominant throughout. I thought Woodley would be more aggressive. Dana White even mentioned him going in that Gilbert Burns would be the type of forward-moving, aggressive fighter that should bring out the best in Tyron Woodley that would come back at him offensively. Just didn't see that. There was even, Tim, in the final round when Woodley, only way he could win was a finish. I counted a 41-second stretch where he did not throw a single strike. In the final round, only way to win is to get a finish, and he's got that big bazooka right hand. No strikes at all in 41 seconds. What you think of the fight?
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, props to Gilbert Burns, man. You know, he looked great. You know, if we had previewed this fight last week, I would have been on the Burns train, but more like with the assumption that Burns would kind of get out front early, because, you know, Woodley is sometimes a slow starter, but he would get out front early. He would get the first three rounds, and then he would like survive the last two rounds, because Burns has blown up and gassed in the past. But man, he was on the pedal from the word go. You know, he had nearly 3-1 advantage on strikes landed, almost outlanded him by 100. It was 90 something. Yeah, landed him by. You know, he cut him open. He dropped him. He had the only two takedowns of the fight himself. When he hit the takedown on Woodley, I was like, oh man, this is not good, you know, because I kind of expected it to just be a stand-up fight the whole time. Burns would struggle to get him down. Woodley wouldn't really want to be on the ground with the jiu-jitsu prowess of Burns, and then we would just have, who's going to knock who out or who's going to land more. But, yeah, congrats, man, to Burns. And I think Woodley, you know, this is two in a row now where he just hasn't been able to get past that this new crop, if you will, of top talent.
Yeah, in the updated rankings, Gilbert Burns making the biggest jump this week in the UFC rankings in the division. He moves up to number one, and Tyron Woodley falls to number four. That's the right spot for Gilbert Burns, don't you think, for Usman's title? And he also said, hey, I want the title. It's his teammate in the welterweight division, but he still wants the title. I love that.
Yeah, a lot of teammates won't fight each other, but Gilbert Burns has said that he's willing to fight him. You know, this is six wins in a row for him. He's 4-0 at welterweight. So, if he's willing to get in there and do it, then that may be the fight. At the very least, I think he gets a real big fight with like a Colby Covington at the very least. But yeah, if he's willing to go for the title fight, then I say let's do it.
Definitely. Sorry to step on you there real quick. What'd you think of the smaller cage at 25 feet?
Oh, it gave us a lot of action. I believe going into that fight of that show, there were 11 bouts, of which only four of the 11 were, according to Vegas, were booked to end before the bell, to inside the distance, if you will. And we got way more than that. We got a lot more finishes than what Vegas even expected. So, we only had really, from what I recall, maybe one fight, the heavyweight fight, that was kind of like there was not, sometimes they wouldn't engage so much, but every other fight, there we had two or three just like firecrackers.
Normally it's 30 feet, right?
30. Yeah, 30 feet.
25. Right. And we've seen the difference in Valor Fighting Challenge, too, when you go a smaller cage versus larger cage. Art, you mentioned that the heavyweights, Augusta Sakai beat Blagov Ivanov, split decision victory. That was maybe the least entertaining of the main card fights, don't you think?
Yeah, and I kind of expected that going in. That was the fight where I kind of knew we were going to get, two kind of lumbering, slower heavyweights that don't finish a whole lot of fights. And, so I, to tell you the truth, I didn't watch it intently. I kind of spaced out on that one. But, congrats to Sakai. He is now 3-0 in the UFC. He's won five in a row. And he's kind of a fringe contender now, if you will, at least to get like a big fight, like maybe like against Overeem or something.
Yeah, Sakai moved up three spots to number 10 in the rankings, and Ivanov dropped three spots down to 15, so both of those guys still ranked. Billy Quarantino, this fight was wild, man. Quarantino, who's from my hometown in Tampa, beat Spike Carlisle. I mean, these guys were after it. Quarantino was consistently going after different subs and not able to finish Carlisle. Carlisle charging in on him. Unanimous decision win for Quarantino. What'd you think of this fight?
It was awesome. That was my pick for fight of the night contender going into it, just because these guys go for it. And that Spike he's a wild man. From the waist up, that guy is yoked. He is stacked. And, we know he's a hard hitter. He's super aggressive, and he's actually skilled on the ground as well. So, he was going for it. The question was he going to be able to do that for all three rounds at that pace? And unfortunately for him, he started to slow there towards the end of the second. And then in the third, he was really gassed, but still dangerous. And props to Billy Q. He stayed really composed throughout, some really sticky moments early in that fight. Mm-hmm. And so really good fight. What I think would be good to see, Vince, with the characters that they are and the aggression that they bring, would be Spike Carlisle and Nate the Train.
I like it.
Man. They're both 1-1 in the UFC now. They're both at 145. How could that not be fun?
And people would probably line up for Nate the Train right now. But, man, from an entertainment standpoint, you're absolutely right. Look at the matchmaker coming up with a fight. I love it. Who would have thought?
I just think there's no way it could be bad.
Absolutely. Roosevelt Roberts beat Brock Weaver, RNC submission in the second round. I guess Roberts was a favorite in this one. And Weaver, I believe, missed weight. Is that right?
He was the only fighter to miss weight, yeah. Brock Weaver was coming off of a kind of a, I don't call it a fluky win, but he had a win by DQ, where he was just getting absolutely dominated. And the guy, he kicked him or kneed him on the head while he was on the ground. It was very blatant. And then so he won by DQ. So a lot of people were kind of questioning Weaver's spot here in the UFC coming in after he had such a really poor debut. And he did a little better this time. But, Roosevelt Roberts is a top prospect, man. He's really good. He's so tall and lanky at that weight. And he's going to be a guy that, just kind of throwing another fight I'd like to see out there would be him and Violent Bob Ross, Luis Pena, because they're both so tall and rangy. Their records line up pretty close, and that would be another fun fight.
like that as well. Mackenzie Dern in the first fight on the main card beat Hannah Cyphers in 236 of the first round via knee bar, Tim. The first ever knee bar submission victory in a women's UFC fight. How about that?
Did not know that. I did not know that. That's a fun fact. That's wild to even to hear that. That's never been done. Mackenzie Dern is an ace on the ground. If you had asked me who did I think had the biggest chance of missing weight on this card, I would have said Mackenzie Dern. Mm-hmm. But she made the weight, and that once she made the weight, I was all on board with her. To me, this is a bit of a softball that the UFC threw her with Cyphers, just because Cyphers just got finished on the ground by Angela Hill, and Mackenzie Dern's world ahead of Angela Hill on the ground. So she had a little trouble closing that gap early. Once she was able to get inside the pocket, she got that clinch, got her down, and it was elementary from there. And I think I saw that she said that she wants to fight like three more times this year. So we'll see if she's able to, stay busy and rise up the rankings here this year.
Well, she made short work of Cyphers, so why not be able to turn that around real quick? Dern was impressive, and so was Kaylin Chookagian. The way she decimated and dominated Antonina Shevchenko. Whew. I've seen Shevchenko fight. The little sister of Valentina is pretty good, but Chookagian looked really good, got a unanimous decision, victory 30-25 across the board. She said she also wants to fight a lot coming up.
Well, yeah, she looked awesome. This was one of those fights where it was, after the fact, this is all easy to say, but like, I really like Chookagian in this fight, because Antonina is not her sister. She is not near that level. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people going in thought that she would have a massive upper hand because her sister just dominantly beat Chookagian. They obviously are each other's top training partner, getting each other ready. So she's going to have the inside track on what the proper way to pick her apart and beat her. And, going into this fight, I kind of expected it to be a bit of a snoozer of a three-round kickboxing match, because Chookagian typically wants to strike and throws a lot of volume but not a lot of knockout power. But she made it evident immediately that we were going to the ground in this fight, and she was absolutely dominant. She beat her every which way she could. Unfortunately, she couldn't find the finish, but she was able to get two 10-8 rounds and really kind of establish herself as a top contender that just can't quite break through past the champion. That's a rough spot to be in.
Few other preliminary card fights. Daniel Rodriguez beat Gabe Green. Unanimous decision, 30-27 across the board on all the judges' scorecards. Jamal Hill, quick work of Kilton Abreu, a minute 51 via TKO strikes. Also, Chris Gutierrez defeated Vince Marais via leg kicks. Man, just absolutely brutalizing Marais's legs. Goodness. Second round victory for Gutierrez. He looked really dominant. A couple other preliminary card fights I want to get your thoughts on. Brandon Royval defeated Tim Elliott via submission in the second round, arm triangle choke. What'd you think of this one?
It was awesome. That was my other pick for fight of the night, I thought, because, man, if you watch that fight, it was just scramble city. And I expected that going in because Elliott comes out of the gates 100 miles an hour and going for the takedowns and looking to do work. But Royval is just so scrambly and constantly going for submissions. There were so many transitions in that fight. It was a lot of fun to watch. And in the second round, Elliott, he kind of started to slow down. He couldn't keep that pace. And I was thinking to myself, there's no way they're going to go three rounds at this pace. They're like buzzsaws. They're flyweights, They're small guys. They can move. It's what you expect from that division. But Royval really made, for his UFC debut, I think he debuted at like number nine in the rankings now. So that's a huge win for him. He's in the top 10 after one fight in a division that I think he will be able to put his show on and be a fan favorite.
And then the last fight, Casey Kenney defeated Lewis Smolka, guillotine choke in the first round at 303. I mean, both of these guys had brief moments in the first round before the finish, but man, still a very impressive win for Casey Kenney.
Yeah, I think Kenny made a statement that he's ready, for some ranked guys. He looked great, man. He's coming off the loss to Davishvili, where the stifling wrestling he just couldn't overcome. But, man, his counter punching was great. Leg kicks on Lewis Smolka were awesome. And Smolka's a tough guy. He's a durable guy. And Kenny was able to get him out of the first round. So I'm excited to see him take a step up next.
We'll preview UFC 250. That is next on In the Cage, MMA Radio.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Embrace the social distancing and knock some things off your I've been wanting to do this list. It's been said that Shakespeare wrote King Lear when the plague closed theaters, so use this time wisely. Instead of letting anxiety and isolation rule, let productivity take its place. And for those of you thinking about remodeling your home's kitchen or bath, call the Countertop Pros at Smoky Mountain Tops. For more than 25 years, Smoky Mountain Tops has been providing East Tennessee with countertop solutions to fit every homeowner's needs and budget. They're here for you now, taking precautions and practicing safe social distancing. This is Jeff Jarnigan, and I'm proud to tell you about my friends at Smoky Mountain Tops. I've been working with them a long time. They're fully accredited by the Marble Institute of America. And check out the luxurious Vidara Quartz, seen at Smoky Mountain Top Studio. Vidara is quartz designed for modern living, a popular choice for its durability, excellence, and value. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Quality, service, and dedication. Smoky Mountain Tops.
This has been a big announcement.
At East Tennessee Children's Hospital, when we say child life specialist, it means
they make hospitals less scary.
When we say we have the most skilled pediatricians, it means
he explains things so I can understand.
And when we say East Tennessee Children's Hospital is one of only 46 freestanding children's hospitals in the whole country, it means
it's a place all about me.
Get to know East Tennessee Children's Hospital now for those unpredictable moments down the road. East Tennessee Children's Hospital. We get kids. Learn more at etch.com.
Hi, I'm John Milligan. I treat venous disease. Vein disease is not cosmetic only. 95% of my practice is treating heavy, tired, achy, restless legs. So it's great to be able to help people in ways they didn't even know they had a disease. So they come in with a heavy, tired leg, I can give them more energy. I can take away their cramps at night. 80% chance their legs will not be restless afterwards. And the added benefit is their legs will look better.
To find out more, visit us at MilliganVane.com.
Technology has to be updated constantly, right? Hi, this is Scott Brokamp with His Security. And wouldn't life be much easier if you had one company that could help you with smart home automation, cabling for entertainment systems, even hanging TVs? We provide more than just security alarms and cameras. We are your whole house technology providers with solutions you can actually live with. Come see us on Kingston Pike in Farragut. Call 474-9495 or visit hissecurity.com. Tennessee license number 1545.
Benchmark Physical Therapy is a leading physical therapy provider dedicated to bringing you back to your best. Benchmark focuses on proven methods to get you back in the game. Benchmark has more advanced certified clinicians than anyone in the region and outcomes that exceed national standards. Benchmark therapists know the importance of establishing trust with their patients, which leads to more positive outcomes. Remember, you have a choice in where you go for physical therapy, so go to benchmarkphysicaltherapy.com to find a location near you. Benchmark Physical Therapy. Your journey to better health starts here.
Master Remodelers has 20 years of experience and a passion for remodeling that assures you of the luxurious kitchen or bath of your dreams. Call us at 458-0416. Find out about financing options on our website, remodelingknoxville.com.
Hey, it's Heather. Call Pioneer Heating and Air, 922-2817 for a $49.95 service call. That's who I trust. You can trust Pioneer. 922-2817.
Pioneer.
Online at pioneercomfort.com.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick. But we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Back here on In the Cage MMA Radio with Tim Loy, Valor Fighting Challenge matchmaker. I am Vince Ferrar. Appreciate you joining us each Wednesday night. Be sure to tell all your friends that love MMA. There's a radio show talking MMA each and every week. It's called In the Cage MMA Radio. Tim, Valor Fighting Challenge, we've been waiting for a time when we can get to see this great Southeast Regional Organization back in action in Knoxville, July 3rd, back at the Cotton Eye Joe. Tell us the details. What will be an exciting day to see MMA back here in Knoxville?
Yeah, long last, man. You know, the Cotton Eye Joe reopened last week, and so they're working on streamlining their process for, the social distancing and all that good stuff. And so we're excited, man. We're going the night before the 4th of July celebration starts on Saturday. And, you know, I know a lot of the festivals and festivities and whatnot have been canceled here, so giving people something to go do. There'll be a very, very limited number of tickets available, given the circumstances. The Cotton Eye Joe holds about 2,000 people, so you know we're only probably going to move in the realm of probably 10% of that, just to make sure that we're able to have the proper social distancing. And we're excited. It's an all amateur show. There's going to be lots of top talent. The main event, we're going to put a new amateur 170 champion in place. We've got Carter Beekman, who's comes up from Chattanooga. He's a heavy hitter, man. He'll be taking on Alan Miller, who comes down from Kentucky with Ian Lawler's group. That's going to be a great main event. We've got Taylor Turner doing some combat jiu-jitsu on the card, so you'll get to see Bellator vet Taylor Turner in action, and as well as a whole lot more, just really good prospects. Parker Wadman's going to be on the card. We've got Jackson Donovan, who's undefeated as well. Zach Fox will be doing a Thai fight. He's a real fun fighter to watch. He just came back from Thailand, so be excited to see some of the things that he's learned, and we'll be talking more about it in the weeks to come. But yeah, July 3rd, and you can get your tickets at fightertix.com. that's tits with an X, and again, they will be limited. We're not gonna be able to just pack the place out like we'd typically like to do.
And find Valor Fighting Challenge on all the social media accounts, including on Facebook, and you can get updates on the card and even fighter information as well. So looking forward to Valor Fighting Challenge back July 3rd, Cotton Eye Joe. All right, UFC 250 pay-per-view, Nunes versus Spencer. Preliminary card has a couple of interesting fights, a couple of ranked flyweights, Jusir Formiga against Alex Perez in a flyweight bout, Herbert Burns, who has a history with Nate the Train Landwehr, and he's taking on Evan Dunham. Your thoughts on these two real quick?
I think that Alex Perez has got a lot to gain here with a win over Formiga. He'll jump up, he'll surpass him, I would imagine, and take third or fourth spot and be up for title talks, I would imagine. And then, Herbert Burns, the brother, he's looking to ride the momentum of his brother Gilbert. I would have to imagine that he's going to be riding in hot against a tough Evan Dunham, though. It's going to be a tough matchup.
Preliminary card, the top two bouts there, Alex Caceres taking on Chase Hooper, who's undefeated as a featherweight. He's a prospect to keep an eye on, right?
Absolutely. He's maybe the youngest fighter in the UFC, submission specialist, just looks like a kid. And, Alex Caceres, Bruce Leroy, if you will, he's not got the most sparkling record, but he's a guy that's been in there with a who's who and will certainly give young Hooper a good test.
A guy that stays very active with the UFC that we've seen in Valor Fighting Challenge, and Gerald Meerschaert, he's got a great middleweight opportunity against 11th ranked Ian Heinisch, who's 13-3. This is a great spot for Meerschaert. This is a shot against a ranked fighter.
Absolutely. This is, we talk about it all the time. These guys getting an opportunity as an unranked fighter to knock a guy off with a number next to his name and take that spot. And this is Gerald Meerschaert is his chance, and it's definitely a winnable fight against Ian Heinisch. He's very tough, but I think Meerschaert has got a real good shot of knocking him off and getting into the rankings, man. That'd be huge.
Absolutely. And then the main card looks like this: Sugar Sean O'Malley, undefeated at 11-0, taking on Eddie Wineland in a bantamweight bout, Neil Magny against Anthony Rocco Martin in a welterweight bout, then a couple of ranked bantamweights looking to be in position for a title fight, Corey Sandhagen taking on Aljamain Sterling, and then another bantamweight bout with Cody Garbrandt against Rafael Sunsau. That's 9 versus 5 there. And then, of course, the main event for the Amanda Nunes' featherweight title, taking on Felicia Spencer. What are a couple of things that stand out about that main card, Tim?
Yeah, bantamweights on parade, huh? There's going to be a lot of movement, I would think, in the rankings here with a vacant bantamweight title out there. One has to imagine the Sandhagen and Sterling winner will be in the talks to occupy one half of that vacant title fight. And who knows, you know, Cody Garbrandt's a guy that has been up in there in main events, pay-per-view fights. If he's able to knock off the number five ranked Asuncao, then he might even get back into those talks. And you know, Asuncao is going to be a tough test, but we've seen Garbrandt, you know, he's been getting knocked out against guys that are hitters. And not saying Asuncao doesn't have power. That's not really his game. So I expect Garbrandt to fare better this weekend.
And then, Tim, let's talk about that main event. Nunes, massive favorite against Spencer. What kind of shot do you give Spencer? How do you see this one playing out?
I don't give her much of a shot. I think that, you know, she's a logical contender in a shallow featherweight division. But I think Nunes is better everywhere. And, you know, it's rare that you see the biggest favorite on the card come in the main event title fight. But indeed, that's what we have here. And deservedly so. Spencer's tough. She's a good fighter. She's just not going to be as fast, as strong, as good a striker, or as good on the ground, unfortunately. And that doesn't add up to success typically.
This to me seems like it's just a display so people can appreciate the greatness of Amanda Nunes. That's what's on.
You know, it keeps that 145 title moving. It keeps it around her waist, and we wait on the next big challenge.
Yeah, and defending multiple belts, which is a rarity in the UFC and in MMA. Well, more UFC events coming the few weeks following that. June 13th, I versus Calvillo is the main event. Then June 20th, UFC Fight Night, Blades versus Volkov, another battle of heavyweights there. Next week, we'll have a preview of that UFC Fight Night on the 13th. We'll look back on UFC 250 that takes place this Saturday night. Want to give a quick shout out to guys like Chuck Liddell and John Jones, who've been very active in being able to prevent people from looting and rioting. They've done some cleanup work in their areas as well. So good job by those and anyone else that in the MMA world that's done their part to try to bring some peace and eliminate racism in this country. So good job by those two guys. Tim, this Saturday night should be fun. Awesome work by you once again, sir. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
The pleasure has been mine, Vince. Likewise.
All right. That's Matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, Mr. Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate you. We'll see you next week on In the Cage MMA Radio.
The moments are etched in our memories.
K.O. Jones just reached out and picked it out of midair.
The mental image is as clear as the moment they happen.
Oh, the pass is going to be caught by Tennessee.
Tennessee wins!
Your heart still races to hear the play.
Bottom. King of the Volunteers.
There's nothing like hearing the call in the moment.
Bradshaw lays it up and in.
Now, you have the chance to relive many of the greatest moments in Tennessee's sports history. 99.1 The Sports Animal is bringing you a rebroadcast of several of the greatest games in Volunteer sports lore.
60 yards.
From the 20 to the 10 to the checkerboard.
Relive these moments and share them with those too young to remember right here on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The national champion is clad in big orange.
Tune in this week, Saturday at noon, for another Tennessee Volunteer Classic game on your home for Tennessee sports. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hey, Will West here with Andrew Henderson from Fitness Together. Andrew, the biggest reason people tell me that they can't get their training and exercise in is they just don't have time.
In 45-minute focus sessions, we address your strength, your cardio, your flexibility, your balance, your core. We hit it all.
And Andrew, right now you're offering a great deal for the listeners.
Absolutely. Come in, try it. There's a complimentary trial session and consultation. If you like it, we'll take $100 off your 3-month jumpstart program.
KnoxFT.com. KnoxFT.com for Fitness Together.
When you step into Big Kahuna Wings, you'll experience something rare these days. Less TVs, less noise, a relaxing atmosphere that's about quality time and quality food.
It's where we feel right at home with our family and friends, sharing stories and amazing menu options.
Salads, sliders, wraps, it's all so good.
You gotta try the new Southern Caviar Burger, topped with flavors that will blow your mind.
Big Kahuna Wings. Change your taste buds forever. 12828 Kingston Pike in Farragut and 7804 Montview Center Way near Westtown Mall. BKWings.com.
At Coyote, we're going to treat you like dirt, because we hold dirt in the highest regard. We're honored to find it under our fingernails. It keeps us humble, honest. If you know us, you know getting treated like dirt means getting treated with respect. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Your Coyote dealer is Green's Tractor Company in Sneedville. Call 423-733-2272 or go to greenstractor.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Jarnigan. When you're at the game, what's going on at your home? Bet you didn't think a whole lot about that, but you should. Contact Safety Systems, 693-0095. You can be hooked up to see security cameras in your home. You'll know it's protected from fire. Everything you worry about can be off your plate at Safety Systems. They're at 2051 Castaic Lane in Knoxville, right off Hardin Valley. Check them out, safetysystems.com.
It's Fox Toyota's last chance clearance event. Get big discounts and low rates on all remaining 2019s. If you've been thinking about a new RAV4, Highlander, or Tacoma, now is a great time to buy. Visit Fox Toyota in Clinton for special last chance offers during the last chance clearance event. Just off I-75, exit 122, only 20 minutes from downtown Knoxville. Fox Toyota just makes sense. Visit online at foxtoyotaclinton.com.
Thanks for listening to In the Cage MMA Radio as Vince and Tim bring you inside the fight game of MMA with this unique weekly one-hour show. Join us again next Wednesday night, 8 to 9 on 99.1, The Sports Animal.